Thanks, Tony. An amazing passage, isn't it? Just an amazing passage. Who understands it? Oh, those chuckles. I have a question before we start. How many of you actually watch the news? I don't watch much news. I like to live in my own little head, and I don't watch much news. The reason I don't watch much news is because it's pretty sad. Everyone's nodding. Yeah, why do you put yourself through it? Why do you put yourself through watching the news? I actually did sit down on the couch with Michelle a few nights ago and watched the news for the first time. It wasn't really the news, it was the project, that's really just commentary. But they had an article there about the riots in France. You know, those that watch the news. There are riots going in France. The police had killed a young boy, and that whole impoverished community had risen up, and riots had spread across France. Riots everywhere, cars burning. It was brutal, and it was ugly, and it was violent. And they had a lady who they had interviewed, and she was saying, it's the police, they're the problem, and they just shouldn't have put those 45,000 police on the streets. And I turned to my wife and I said, well, what's the alternative? Do you just let them keep on rioting? If the police aren't there, then don't more people get hurt? Isn't there more violence? What do they think might have happened? I don't know if that was just me. I was just thinking, how naive is that to think that if there's rioting in the streets, you just withdraw the police and let them go. Let them go. It's what Habakkuk's about. It's actually what Habakkuk is about. It's a stunningly relevant little prophecy. You can see it there at the beginning. Verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. It's the news. It's the world right now. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. That's actually the most negative statement in the Old Testament about the law that you can find. It's so sad. Habakkuk is demoralized. The law is righteous and good and keeps order. And yet here he is looking around at his society, looking at the violence, and he goes, the law is paralyzed. We have in our society, we have a pretty high view of the law. And if we see things that are wrong, then people will sign petitions and lobby and get the law changed. The solution to societal ill is to just get better laws, isn't it? And then enforce them. That's the way we should go. That's That's just common sense. We have a very high view of the power of the law to bring good, even in our own society. And I think that's actually flawed. I think that's what Habakkuk is saying. It's actually flawed and a little bit dangerous to have such a high view, such trust in the law as an external reality that can just make people good. It's impossible. It's impossible. We can't legislate goodness. There were already laws in France that said don't riot. But people rioted. And probably justly. We won't go into the details of that. But the law itself is paralyzed. The solution to violence is not the law. Oop, am I going to get stoned from the pulpit here? People are going, hang on a minute, where's he going with this? Where's he going? The solution to violence is not the law. Our hearts are broken. They tend towards evil. Law cannot change your heart or my heart and make us good. Paul reflected on that in Romans 7. Is the law evil for not being able to sort out the violence? No. No, it is good and righteous. And in fact, if we read the Torah, if we read the law rightly, we see that what it is a hedge trying to limit the violence that sits in our hearts. We actually celebrated communion and we did a bit of a weird communion last week and we did it from Deuteronomy 19, didn't we? And we talked about the lex talionis. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. The purpose of that law is actually to limit violence because otherwise it escalates and it gets out of control. People riot, the police suppress them, people riot more, the army gets sent in. There's a cycle of violence that the law was designed, if you read it rightly, to hedge in. If someone pokes out your eye, the law limits you to only taking their eye, not both of their eyes and a leg, just for good measure. The law is designed to limit violence, but the law cannot do it. The law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. Habakkuk is looking at years and years of history and he is seeing nation rise up against nation and violence show up in the household and in the city and in the nations all around. And he's suddenly realizing the law, it's paralyzed. There's nothing it can do. Where is there hope in this? And he is shaking his fist at God. He is saying, God, step in, sort out the violence. Just fix it. Why are you not fixing it? Why are you making me look at this? I can't turn off the TV. I can't turn off the news. It's all around him and it's beating him down. And he does what we all do. He cries out to God. How long will this last? How long must I put up with this? And I know that in your Bibles, before verse 5, it has the Lord's answer. Lots of people think that that's the Lord's answer. I'm less than convinced that that's the Lord's answer. I think it's actually still part of Habakkuk's complaint. It's actually part of the problem. Because he's a prophet and he's received words from God. And one of those words that he has received concerns a nation to the east, the Chaldeans. We've been modernly translated to Babylonians, but the Chaldeans. And he's heard this oracle, he's heard this word from God, that these people are going to come in and they're going to just sort it out. And you go, he just can't comprehend it. This word is truly shocking. If the solution to violence is the law, God's solution to violence is more violence, yes. More violence. Oh, golly. Is this the God we believe in? Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honour. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk, hungry wolves, wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, their horsemen come from afar, they fly like an eagle swooping to devour. Hungry eagles, they all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. Can you see the imagery? It's like they are like a sandstorm blowing in from the east across the desert, just picking up steam and just smothering everything in their path. Violence on steroids. That's what they are. And Habakkuk hears this word, and he is just dismayed. And you'll have to wait till next week for Peter, because I don't want to steal his thunder. His thunder. But just in verse 12, you can see what Habakkuk thinks in response to this oracle. Lord, are you not from everlasting? Is this who you are, God? Is this who you are? But what we have to realize is this word is actually according to the law. Remember, we talked about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This is quite literally violence for violence. This is the law. And Habakkuk is dismayed. He is dismayed that God would have anything to do with this. He is just deflated, unlike that balloon that's floating on the ceiling. He is deflated. Where do we go? What do we do? Is this the answer? The only answer? Is the law powerless? Should we answer violence with violence? Is that the right way? Obviously, you're waiting for me to say no. No, it's not. Yes. And it's not. And it's not. Because last week when we celebrated communion, we thought about the law and we thought about witnesses and righteousness and justice, all of these words that flow through this passage. We thought about that. And we saw that it was answered on the cross. It was answered by Jesus. God came down and he was abused and beaten and violently attacked. And did he respond in kind? Did he answer violence for violence? No, he did not. He was silent. He took the beatings. He took the violence. He was nailed to a cross unjustly. Unjustly. And in that act, we find God's answer. We find that amazing answer to violence. We find it answered by God himself on the cross. Did you hear our passage today in that long reading from Acts? Did you catch it? Ian did, because Ian's the smartest person in the room. Oh, sorry, I can't say that out loud. So, Ian heard it. Acts 13. Right at the very end, Paul recounts all of Israel's history. Verse 38, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. The law was not the solution to your problem. Jesus is the solution to your problem. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Right at the very beginning of Paul's ministry, this is the first missionary, there's a picture on your bulletin. This is the first journey out. And Paul is talking to the Jews, the same people Habakkuk is talking to. And he picks up Habakkuk's words. He picks up these words that are just downcast at the violence all around, at the impotence of the law and the silence of God. He picks up those words and he says, be careful that this does not happen to you. Listen to the good news. Listen to this good news of Jesus. I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. Even if someone told you. And that's what the good news is. That's literally the definition of good news. It is a message of hope. It's not anything that you can do. There's no law that you can obey to find your way out of this dark problem. It's just listening to this message. Don't be a scoffer, is what Paul is saying. Listen to this amazing message that no one will believe, even if he told you, that God himself would take the violence of this planet onto his body and suffer it without retaliation. What should we do? Well, A, we should repent and believe. Absolutely. There's a whole sermon there that we could do the gospel. But I'm thinking about that lady on the news who says, if the police would just go away. If the police would just go away, that's the problem. My response to that is, how naive, how stupid. If the police were there, or weren't there, it would just get out of control. And yet, we look at the gospel, and it is something that we would not believe, even if someone told you that God would not come in. He would just suffer. We get cranky and I get tense when I watch the news and I see the violence. I look at Russia and Ukraine and I go, that just, ugh, it's wrong, it's unjust. There has to be a response to that. And then I look at Jesus, who was silent. And I'm going, what do I do? What do I do? Is that the better response? Is Jesus' response the right way? And the answer is yes. But gee, I'm a long way away from it. I get tense and angry when I see injustice. I hope you do too. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And he goes on to say, blessed are those when all around you persecute you and attack you and are violent towards you because of me. Be patient and wait and live by faith. That's where Habakkuk is going. I hope you know that that's where it's going. Because Habakkuk actually contains in it all of the gospel, all of the good news. Paul starts his most beautiful description of the good news from Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It's the power of God. But I am not going to steal everybody else's thunder, including my own, because I'm back in 2 weeks. But stay, listen, but ponder Jesus, who was silent and suffered violence for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are just and the justifier, that you suffered for us, that you took our violence that lies deep in our hearts, and you bore it yourself on the cross. Help us to be a people who don't respond eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but leave the response to you. Help us to be a people who just have faith that you will sort this out, for you are a good and just God. Amen.